This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Pass for Petrovic, and Rantanen got a shot away, and it bounces in! Off of Petrovic! It's another assist for Rantanen, and Alexander Petrovic has Dallas up 3-2.
And that is how we start the Monday edition of Sean and RJ Live here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Glad you're waking up with us. Thanks for being a Tolo. Hopefully you had a fantastic Mother's Day weekend. Just when we think we're all back together again, Bobby Belt out sick. We'll see if he's back tomorrow, but I think it's legit as he skipped the daughter's birthday party on Saturday.
This was an early. They called this state early. This is an early. This is like Indiana, Kentucky, California. They call it right away.
Did they call it red or blue?
Well, that's a good question with Bobby. The colds. I think colds. A scratchy throat is red.
Okay.
But a head cold, I think, of blue.
Okay.
But they called this one very early in the night. This is like 11 o'clock in the morning. He sent the text that I'm out tomorrow. I'm like, dang. I mean, you even had a chance to get yourself a coffee in the morning before you called out. He took one look at the news that was out there. He's like, yeah, I'm not doing this prep work.
Oh, the sports news that was out there.
Well, look, karma's a bee. You know, I'm sure Monday when I was out last week at jury duty, he talked his talk. Said, well, the Cowboys probably played Sunday. You know, Peyton's off, so this is what he gets. But no, I hope he's great. You know, when you're in bed all weekend, it's never a good feeling. And like the thing is, you know, Friday he was fine walking out of here. It seemed like so. I mean, it must have hit him hard Friday night and Saturday. Then yeah, he waved the white towel early Sunday.
Well, the big mistake that he made was, when you know you're going to Post Malone 2 weeks prior at Billy Bob's in Fort Worth, it's probably smart to take off the next day. If you're going to go to that concert and you're going to be out and about, go ahead and use the day. He doesn't know how to reset.
No.
Way too much Adderall, way too much going on upstairs, way too little sleep, and then it ends up catching up with him. But I don't know. I felt like something yesterday in DFW hit me in terms of allergies, sinuses. It felt like something turned in the air because my head is all stuffed up. But look, we'll get to all that stuff later on. We'll see if Bobby returns tomorrow. It's better off anyway because I wouldn't want to hear him talk about the Dallas Stars and their 5-2 win at the AAC to take the 2-1 series lead over the Jets.
Another game and another Miko standout in this one. He had another goal. He had a couple of assists. He literally is in on everything, and he's fun to watch. Like I can't think of another athlete that I've seen in DFW, and I've been here since '97, that has done
well,
that has had a stretch like this in a big spot. I mean, we've seen other guys have stretches in big spots, like in like the regular season, but this is he's on a different level right now. He is on a heater that is something that we just haven't seen.
Well, let's get to the big topic from this game: the kick. That's what they're calling it. This was really the turning point of the game. You heard the call right there on TNT. Break it down for us, RJ Choppy, in terms of the rule, the review, whether you think they got it right, how much are they melting down in Winnipeg after the go-ahead from Petrovic?
The way that they explained, the referee explained it on the ice, that it was a kick, but since Hellebuck touched it with his stick, and he kind of aided it in.
Guided, yeah.
That nullified the kick. That's how I understood it. I didn't know that was a possible thing, but that's how they explained it. So I don't know the rule well enough to know whether like they got it right or wrong. Based on their explanation of it, it sounds like they got it right.
That had to be the longest review of the postseason.
Oh, that was minutes. But it's such a, you know, it's not like with football, it's like it's in a first down or not. I mean, this is the game here.
Yeah.
You know, this is the game.
Could be a series turner. Game three winner.
Absolutely.
Tied at one.
They win about 70%. Yeah, they win about the game three winner in a tie series wins about 68% of the time. So huge. Huge call. Big moment. And, you know, the way they explained it, it sounded like they got it right.
Pepe, what were you thinking of the ruling?
Well, what was it playing? Freebird was playing the entirety of that entire replay. I mean, man, I think it was on repeat.
I texted Chippy at that time. I was like, man, that's a really great like a great spot. Because that's the America song.
John Buchagross, game one, he gave Shippy the big shout out.
He did.
Saying Stars in-game arena, best entertainment.
But yeah, I didn't get the long replay. I mean, again, I'm biased, I guess. But there was a situation in the first round where the Colorado player, I think, you know, he's kind of, his feet fell from underneath him and he kicked the puck into the net. And that, you know, that wasn't a longer view. This one I didn't get because you can angle your skate and like deflect it, but you just can't kick it. I didn't see a kicking motion there at all. I didn't get the longer view. I get it's the playoffs. You want to get it right. But fortunate it was for the Stars' benefit.
And then Mikko scores. It wasn't actually 49 seconds later. It was 49 seconds of game time later. Yeah. But 49 seconds later, his ninth of the postseason, and that's night-night. See you later. Bye-bye.
Yeah, once you're down two, you know, the way – and look, it's not like you can't score two goals in today's NHL. I mean, teams score two goals, three goals, four, like in a period now without even batting an eye. It's just you knew this team wasn't going to do it, and then they were going to have to go empty net at some point, and they and you know the Stars were going to get another goal. But it was all downhill, and now this team is, again, another road game for Hellebuck where he doesn't play well. And that's been all four road games they've played, he's played in this playoff, the three in St. Louis and then this one. I mean, he's been giving up goal after goal after goal. And there was a point in this where you thought, like, all right, you know, he's kind of settled down right before that goal that went off the skate.
Three or more goals allowed in a period this season for Hellebuck. In the regular season, 63 games, it happened three times. In the playoffs, 10 games so far versus 63, it's happened six times.
Ooh.
So three versus six.
Man, I mean, that's it.
And six less of the games.
And I posted the photo. My lasting image of him in this playoff will be him on his back, flailing as the...
There's a lot of images.
Yeah, as the puck goes in. Oh, baby. You know, that and that... Well, he hacked me off in the morning.
I know. Save your rants.
I'm going to save him.
Rants. You can rant him out at 8 o'clock. We got RJ Unleashed as the Dallas Stars take the 2-1 series lead. Let's kind of recap the game. Hintz scores the power play redirect after Mikko drew the penalty. And Mikko got the assist on that, by the way, in the first period. Then the Jets with a wraparound rebound to tie it at 1. Morrissey somehow misses like a wide open net. The Jets get a penalty. Harley makes them pay to make it 2-1. And then Morrissey with some sweetness with the assist to set it up in the second period. Is it to Niederreiter? Is that his name?
Niederreiter
to make it 2-2. And then the kick, that was the turning point. In the third, that was his first goal since 2016. By the way, yeah,
wow. Look, you know, Morrissey's a really good player, and he was out game one, right, Pat? He was out game one. He got hurt in the previous series at the end against St. Louis, and he's a really nice player, and they need him. They need him if they're gonna, you know, keep this as a competitive series. They need him to play well, and he did. But this is the two best teams, you know, at least in the division all year. And maybe even in the conference, you know, Vegas and you know, Edmonton, obviously, on the other side. But, you know, I don't think it's like Denver OKC where this is the Stanley Cup final. Because I think one of the teams on the other side is going to have, you know, in the Vegas-Edmonton series will have, you know, a little bit of a fighting chance. But these are clearly two of the better teams in the NHL all year. And they've been showing, at least the Stars have been showing this series. And then Hellebuck, he's a choker.
Pete DeBoer on why his guys respond so well to a loss.
You know, there's an honesty to the group and the leadership in the group. They're willing to accept hard coaching. You know, you don't have to sugarcoat it with them, which is nice. You know, some coaches, sometimes you got to, you know, be careful not to hurt feelings and things like that. I don't have to worry about that with our group, and it starts with our leadership guys. If Jamie Benn is the first guy in line to accept criticism, then, you know, everyone else kind of falls in line. And it's not like we, you know, it's constructive criticism, but they're willing to go there without pushback. And I think that's always a part of fixing what's wrong.
Gavin Spittle with some Hockey Hawk notes. The victory gives them the 2-1 series lead and extends their playoff home winning streak to 4 games for the first time since they won 6 straight at the AAC in 2000. Had a rarity today as well, or yesterday. only led in the Colorado and now this series 17.4% of the time.
Man, they do have a really nice home ice advantage. And a lot of it, I think, probably thanks to Natalie right behind Pete DeBoer.
Was she there yesterday?
Every game. She's always there. She's always there. I don't know if she's a good luck charm or what, but it is a great home advantage. It's funny because I didn't think of the AAC for years as a great home advantage, but it really has turned into one for the Stars.
Well, the AAC, I mean, the Mavs fans made a statement to the rest of the country after the Luka trade. People are like, oh my God, look at Dallas Maverick fans. Are you serious? Yeah, and then if you talk about the most consistent electricity in town, it's certainly not at the Globe. It's certainly not at AT&T Stadium. You're not going to have it for Mavs games anymore. It's the Stars by a mile.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
In terms of crowd.
No doubt. It's the best crowd in town. Is it the most passionate fan base? Probably because, you know, the main fans, your most diehard hockey fans are probably the most diehard, period. And a lot of that is they feel like because they're a smaller group, the hockey fan is a smaller section of the population. They have to be louder. They have to be more into it. But it really has been a great home crowd.
And then you talk about Mikko with what he continues to do. And Johnny Lazarus tweeted on social media, can't remember ever seeing a player get as hot from an individual standpoint. And it's not like his line mates are setting him up for backdoor tap-ins. The guy is literally putting the team on his back.
The shots he's taken are not chippies.
Yeah.
These are difficult thread-the-needle type shots. And then you're going to get your redirects in, and that's just hockey. But he is not sitting there getting a one-timer in a completely open net right in front of me. He is skating around people.
It's not like a running back, right, just getting the carries inside the two-yard line.
Getting a giant hole. No. I mean, he is seeing the top corner of the net, and he is threading that needle.
Rantanen after another win.
Yeah, it's important. You know, I think good start to the game, I would say. First period was really good, and then kind of second was theirs for sure. They outplayed us, they outbattled us. You know, they were offense all the time, and we were defending too much. But once again, Otter makes some big saves. And yeah, third periods have been good, you know, in the games that we won. We really pushed in the third and didn't sit back at all. And obviously, it's good to get, you know, not only one goal lead to final minutes, you know, three goal lead basically. So that makes it a little bit easier.
I'm glad he mentioned Otter. If you are a hockey novice just turning it on for the first time, as many are in the Metroplex, and you didn't know the backgrounds, you didn't know the power rankings, you're like, the Dallas Stars have the best goalie in the series by far. And on the other side, there are lists that had Hellebuck as the best player, not in the series, in the playoffs coming in.
He's up for the NHL's version of the MVP. I mean, like, he's going to win the, you know, he's got the Vezina, which is the best goalie. He's already won them. I think he's already won two. He is the, like, he has been the best player in the sport, or one of the best, one of the three or four this year. Every year, though, same story with him. They never get out of the first round, hardly. They finally did, and he doesn't perform well on the road. Definitely not in this playoffs. He's been bad this playoff on the road.
Stars with a 2-1 series lead. I think we get a 7 o'clock start time tomorrow night.
No, really?
Stars. Jake Rietma in studio at 7 o'clock.
Yes, we do.
Right?
Uh-huh.
7 o'clock.
Oh, baby.
There you go. Rietma will be in studio at 7. He was at the AAC. He was talking to Stars fans afterwards as well. And we may have a little audio of the Rietma cast, where we were talking about just watching him flip out during a Dallas Stars game. We may have some of that audio to unveil at 7 o'clock here on DFW Sports Station. We got another giveaway today. Don't we have another giveaway, Pepe?
Rangers tickets, 4-pack.
Ooh, 720 Expressway. We got best and worst of the weekend. Speaking of the Rangers, are you starting to think that maybe the bats are fixed? And it's RJ Choppy with your NBA playoff recap, Monday edition of Sean and RJ. Just getting started. Glad you're waking up with us as part of the 6 a.m. Club right here on The Fan.
This podcast is brought to you by Mintz Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Mintz Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MINTZ-TEA today or visit MintzTeaClinic.com. That's MintzTeaClinic.com.
Boom, Brisky to the plate. There goes Carter. The pitch is belted. Deep left center field. That one is way back, and that ball is history. It's a Mother's Day present for Mary. A two-run homer for Josh Young, and it's 5-0 Texas.
Eric Nadel with the call. In case you did not know, this is your home for Rangers baseball. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean and RJ with you. Bobby Belt out sick today. We still got Peyton and Aiden in the back. We're live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. It's a 6-1 win. And with that, the Rangers win a road series against the team with the best record in the American League, the Detroit Tigers.
Tigers have been really, really good this year, man. And you know, they have the Cy Young winner from last year, Tark Skubal. They've been a solid team. And you know, they've beaten some. It's not like they've been feasting on crap either. I mean, they've really taken it to some quality teams this year. So this is a good series win. Really good series win.
16 runs over the last two games. This is gonna sound really stupid. I know, shocker coming from me. It almost scares me more when they have like a 9-run outburst and then like a 10-run outburst. I just want to see like some consistency with 5 runs scored. You know what I mean? Yeah. It feels like it's all or nothing because you're getting these lopsided numbers. Meanwhile, we're knowing that the offense overall has not been fixed.
Well, I mean, just go back to what about 10 days ago when they beat the A's 15-2. Their next 4 games... 1 run, 0 runs, 1 run, 1 run.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's one of those, you know, don't spend them all in one place kind of thing.
Because they scored 10 on Saturday.
Yeah.
DeGrom, 5 innings, season high 10 strikeouts, season high 5 home runs for the team. Seager was 3 for 4. He hit 2 bombs. Peterson hit his first home run, and Josh Smith hit his first career leadoff home run. Yeah.
And that's why we thought the Thursday loss to Boston, the day game where they just left. Just they left Bella with a ton of guys on base.
I think it was 17 in the last 2 games of that series.
They really blew a chance to win that game on Thursday, but that was so important because you knew you were going against Skubal on Friday, and that's one of those things. Like, it doesn't matter who you're throwing out there, you're going to have the pitching disadvantage for the most part. Now, obviously, if it's prime DeGrom, you're not going to do that, but. You know, Scoob was just really, really good, and he shut him down.
Yeah, and Corbin was good. 2-1 loss.
I was a tough luck. He was a tough luck loser type in that game. But
12 strikeouts for Skubal.
He's really, really solid. And you knew that Thursday game was going to bite because that was really 2 losses in that one. But then they come back and the bats help them out, and they needed it. I mean, they started hitting the long ball too, which this team did not have extra base hits for a while, and they did not have home runs. And this weekend in Detroit, which is. I'd have to go back and look and see what it is now. I know when it first opened, they moved the fences in, but when it first opened, that was not a hitter's park by any stretch. And I have to go see where it ranks right now, but they brought out the big sticks.
And of course, you have to talk about Eovaldi. Lowers his ERA to 1.78. His .75 whip leads all qualified starters in baseball. That whip is the lowest in team history through a player's first 8 starts. And yesterday, 7 innings, 0 runs, 7 strikeouts for Nate.
Just give him the Cy Young. Just give it to him right now. we don't even need to see the rest of the game. Just give him the Cy right now. He's been tremendous.
And look, I had a little worry about the age with the re-sign.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you want Nate Eovaldi. You don't want to get caught up in the World Series nostalgia.
Right.
Big game guy. Bring him back no matter what. He's 35 years old. That can go south on you. It has not, in all capital letters.
Oh, he's been tremendous.
Damn.
And you know, there always has been a little bit of an injury worry with him. And at some point, look, at some point, I mean, every pitcher is pretty much going to be like, hey, he's going to have to either skip a start or spend 10 days on the IL. I mean, a lot of guys do that. It's totally normal. And he might. But right now, this dude's like, yeah, he is the every fifth day absolute workhorse. He's been tremendous. Since they got him, it was a great signing when they first got him. And I'm with you. I mean, when it was like, all right, what are they going to do? Is he going to leave? Are you going to spend $25 million a year on a guy who's in his, you know, mid to upper third? Like, no, are you really going to do that? But it's worked out. And so far, no complaints.
20-21 on the season now, 8-13 on the road. But we got to talk about the moment that the Hall of Famer Eric Nadel described with his mother in the stands, their mother in the stands. Josh Young hits the first home run by a player facing his brother's team on Mother's Day since at least 1969.
That's such a random stat.
It's a reach of a stat.
How many times do you face your brother?
Right.
How many players in Major League Baseball have a brother also in Major League Baseball? It's not,
and then it has to be done on Mother's Day.
On Mother's Day. And then you've got to hit a home run. I mean, it's not like you just you work for your parents. Yeah. You know, you don't work at dad's barbershop. Like, what are we doing here?
Mary was in the stands, and she got interviewed on the Rangers broadcast.
I mean, my heart is just exploding. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better Mother's Day gift to watch them. We're all in the same place to begin with, but then to watch them live their dream, do what they love to do, like, I couldn't be more proud.
I think Bobby, by the way, tweeted this out on Friday before they really got going with these 16 runs scored over the last two games. Their 123 runs scored up until that point, fewest through 38 games in the team's 54-year history.
This has been an offensive team. It's been an offensive franchise. It has been a team that scores a ton of runs and can never, never get the good pitching. Short of the, 1990 season where they had, Kevin Brown and Nolan. I mean, they had a good staff then, right? Short of that, they've never been the dominant pitching. Now, it's kind of the reverse. The pitching's been dominant, and the offense has been sputtering. Hey, look, I mean, you got to find ways to win games. You know, you got to, and you're creeping up on that 500 mark. But if the offense could start coming, then all of a sudden, this is a completely different team the way this staff has played.
Look at the numbers from this staff. Eovaldi's got a 1.78. DeGrom's got a 2.72. Malley, who's going today against the sorry Rockies, has a 1.48. Corbin has been good.
Yeah.
But his ERA is kind of sticking out like a sore thumb at a 3.13. That's how great everyone else has been.
Yeah, dude. And Corbin, what they're getting from him, they did not sign him for this. They signed him to just take up a couple of spot starts, eat some innings. They didn't sign him for a 3 ERA because that dude hasn't seen a 3 ERA since COVID. All right, so he doesn't even know what that even looks like. They didn't sign him for this. They're getting it, though. Mike Maddux.
All right, so that's the Rangers. They're going to be taking on the Rockies. Choppy has baseball and Diamond Cavs later on in the show. We got a Rangers 4-pack giveaway for you to win during the 720 Expressway. What about the association?
It's over in Denver. The Thunder have reclaimed home court advantage in this best-of-seven Western Conference semifinal series, doing it with grit, gall, resilience and tenacity from 8 down in the fourth quarter. They strike big late, 29-18. They outscore the Nuggets in the fourth to win game for 92-87.
Thunder Radio with the call, Choppy. This feels like we have an absolute slugfest on our hands between these two, and we're tied at 2.
I don't know that. First of all, Denver seems like they have trouble putting teams away in series. Last year, they were up 3-2 on Minnesota. They blew the final two. They were up 3-2 on the Clippers. The Clippers forced a game seven. Here, they're up 2-1. They could take a stranglehold in the series. And
At home.
And Joker was clearly gassed at the end of the game.
Yeah.
They had, three, four guys playing 40 minutes? Three guys playing over 40 minutes in this one. And you lose. So you're screwed. I mean, they're definitely tired, and for them to have to go to seven games in the first series, maybe it's wearing on them. I don't know, but they were clearly tired down the stretch of this game.
You know who I've missed on that I really thought was going to take the next step is Jamal Murray. I thought Jamal Murray was going to be an absolute stud Robin to Joker, and I guess he just stepped it up versus the Lakers in those past series because he's at 20 points a game. That's good. That's fine. But way too many 17s get thrown up there from him in order to help support Joker, and it's not enough. So that was that game yesterday. Meanwhile, you said the series was over. I was like, hang on. I don't know about that. Our boy Rick Carlisle is one win away.
Burton for three. He made the foul shot, and that hit a three from way up top. It's 72 to 37.
Pacers Radio with the call. Indiana ties the NBA record for largest, I think it's a postseason lead at halftime. They were up 41 on the number one seed. Pacers win by 20, and they lead 3-1.
Yeah,
this is why no one paid attention to the Cleveland Cavaliers during the entire regular season.
Amen. Amen to that. Gutless. By the way, Jared Allen, how do you play 20 minutes and take one shot? How do you take one shot in 20 minutes? But, yeah, this was unwatchable. When it's up to 41 in the first half, unwatchable game. But this is why I don't think anybody, you're right, took them seriously. They're a little fracas at the end, a little bit of a fracas at the end. But this is why nobody took this team, this Cleveland team, seriously all year, because they were the try-hard team. They're a solid roster, but they're just a try-hard team. They try for 82 games, and you can rack up a really good record, and you get to the playoffs, you play somebody who's got the best player on the floor in Haliburton, and all of a sudden you're screwed.
And they had lost by, wait, did you say Haliburton best player on the floor?
Well, I mean, this series is the
SP. Well, I'm probably going to go Donovan Mitchell.
Overall, for sure.
I know Donovan Mitchell gets his hate and everything, but Donovan, I mean, I think he's dropped a couple of 40 pluses mm-hmm. in this series, but I'm happy for Rick. Happy for Carlisle, and I hope that they go ahead and advance against the winner in the East. As Boston said, hang on a sec. Hang on. Let's remind you who Daddy is.
Yeah, and they were still the favorites in this series. That was surprising. Do you agree that, because Barkley and Shaq said this is a must win for the Knicks. Did you agree with that?
I thought it was an interesting and mm-hmm. not crazy statement, because who do you have winning the series now?
Boston.
Well, then that means their statement would be correct.
That's true. And Knicks have been a good road team all year, but it's pretty clear, like, you know, Boston is going to wind up winning. I think they're going to win the series. If let's say it goes seven. Boston's going to wind up winning seven games to win four. Because they've been up 20 points or close to in all these games.
Yes, I can't wait to watch tonight. I got lost in the fray Saturday, kids' mm-hmm. birthday and all that stuff. People were complaining that game should have been at night, not in the afternoon there at the Garden. But it's going to be 6:30 tonight at MSG, and the Knicks better come out absolutely desperate.
Yeah, this is the strangest 2-1 series I've ever seen. Because the team that is down 2-1 has really dominated a large portion of all these games. Jason Tatum finally had a really good one, 5-9 from deep. You know, good game.
I mean, he still scored like 22 points.
And yeah, I know. He's always got a little strange stat line because they have so many guys too. You know, it's not going to be one of those games where he's going to go out for 40, but they needed him. They needed him to have this kind of game on Saturday.
And then tonight, game four, Minnesota up 2-1, and they still don't have Steph. They're in trouble.
Still no Steph. And did Jimmy go like scoreless like the final like 8 minutes of that one?
Nick Harris, where you at?
But he had a good game overall.
Yeah.
He had a good game overall. They just didn't get it. And, you know, and Nick would say, I'm sure, he didn't get any help. Now, he really didn't get any help at the end. You know, he didn't help himself at the end either. But that was one of those. If you're Golden State, you're just looking to get back tied at two. And then you hope you get Steph. That's what you're hoping for. Get back to Minnesota, too.
The person most responsible for the Cowboys getting George Pickens. We take you inside the deal and inside the star on the official home of America's team with Sean and RJ next.
This podcast is brought to you by Mintz Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Mintz Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MINTZ-TEA today or visit MintzTeaClinic.com. That's MintzTeaClinic.com.
Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club. It's Sean and RJ with you. Bobby Belt out sick today. Hopefully back tomorrow as our Cowboys insider. Let's take you inside the George Pickens deal. Mark Caboli? I don't know. I don't watch McAfee like you do. I guess he is a regular contributor to the McAfee show. Longtime Steelers writer says that none other than Mike Tomlin wanted George Pickens out of town. Quote, make no mistake about it, Tomlin, who has gone out of his way in the past to defend Pickens, is the one who decided that the rehab project needed to end a year early. The ultimate decision had very little to do with GM Omar Khan, even though he signed off on it as well. And of course, it was okayed by team owner Art Rooney. So Mike Tomlin said, enough, see you later, get out of here. As I think Todd Archer and definitely Bobby speculated, the Cowboys looked into Rashad Bateman mm-hmm. while wide receiver shopping. So Bateman, solid season last year, 45 catches, 756, 9 touchdowns, has never eclipsed the 1,000-yard mark as Pickens has. And Bateman is in the first year, in case you were trying to compare the two. Who would I rather have for what money? Right. Bateman is in the first year of a two-year, $13 million contract with a salary of $3.75 million.
All right, so you get the extra year. You would get the extra year from Bateman.
But we got the ceiling.
But we got the ceiling. Mark does the show. He does a podcast with Chris Mack, who came on with us.
Okay.
I know that's how I know him. But yeah, this is, look, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, this was a, it was a move of desperation. They had to do it. They needed that position. And it was also a move that is going to help them. They're a better team. They're a better team. I went and looked at some of the numbers, like the over-unders. You know, they didn't really move. Like the Cowboys over-under, it was still around 7.5. What did move, though, is what's favored. Prior to the move, the under, you had to pay more money, right? You had to pay more VIG. It was minus 120. That was the under. Now, the over is the minus 120. So they think the over is the favorite. They're going to make you pay a premium on it. The number hasn't moved, though, just the price.
Warren Sharp saying this is wild. Dak Prescott the last 2 years. Like, how is his game and Pickens' game going to mesh and match up? Dak the last 2 years, number one most passing yards on 15 yards or longer go routes.
Oh, wow.
Number two most attempts on 15-plus yard go routes. George Pickens the last 2 years, number one most receiving yards on those exact routes, and number two most catches on those exact routes. Dak was also number three in terms of best accuracy of the 40 quarterbacks that they ran through their system. So when it comes to this long ball, explosive plays, 15 yards or more, just throw that B up.
Throw
it up.
Let's go.
That's it.
This is a guy that can be a go-get it guy. You know, they need that. They've got obviously.
And Dak is not like, he's not the most deadly accurate passer. So this to me is a perfect fit. When you have a guy who can just adjust in the air.
Yeah. He hasn't had that since what, Dez?
I know people were trying to say, well, yards of separation, that's not good for Dak. You know, the guy needs to be wide ass open. That's coming from some of the Dak haters. But when it comes to this, man, like, if I don't have the most accurate quarterback, I need the one of, if not the best in-air adjuster out there.
You need that. I think you need that anyway. I think regardless, even if you don't have, like, even if you have a deadly accurate guy, it's helpful to have that. Not every throw is going to be deadly accurate. A lot of throws in the league are now off schedule, they call them. They're going to be off your back foot. You're going to be heaves up in the air.
Yeah, just look at Eli Manning's career.
Absolutely. But you need that. And look, Eli had that. Hakeem Nicks was one of those go-get-it guys. You had Plexico who could do that.
Tyreek Hitch.
Yep. There you go. I mean, you had to have that. You still have to. And it really is going to pay off for them.
CBS Sports with some grading on this. This is not from the individual who got
Cody Benjamin.
Yeah, week one of the Worst Take Award, Fridays at 9 o'clock, Worst Take here on The Fan. Cowboys get an A-. At 6'3", 200 pounds, Pickens is a legitimate perimeter threat that should have Dak giddy. He will open up things for Lamb and vice versa. On paper, the Cowboys just created one of the best wide receiver duos in the league. More on that at 7:20. After last year's incredibly disappointing offseason and the forgettable campaign that followed, these are the kinds of moves that Cowboy fans wanted to see from Jerry. As for the cons, Pickens has struggled to hold his emotions in check, cost his team with a lot of penalties as well. Plus, he has just one more year remaining on the rookie deal. The Cowboys would be losers in this trade if the 2025 season were to be a failure and Pickens left in free agency. However, this is the kind of swing I like to see from a team that wants to win football games.
And then
Steelers with a B-. Steelers did trade for and extend DK this offseason, so parting ways with Pickens is not the biggest surprise in the world. But if you were going to go back in time and tell yourself that the Steelers would be trading Pickens away for a third-round pick, you'd be pretty disappointed. So that's CBS with their grading of it. You know, Mike Florio and others have continued to say that Pittsburgh did not utilize Pickens enough. They did not try to get him involved as much as he should have been.
They don't quarterback either.
Yep.
And that's a problem. Like, you know, I find it hard to, and the same grace I give coaches, I got to give wide receivers. If you don't have a quarterback, it's very hard for me to judge a wide receiver.
Justin Jefferson, he got me last year. I was like, I'll take others over him because they lost their quarterback. Did not matter, even though Darnold was balling out.
Right, and you know, how much of that was, you know, Darnold was getting the ball. But And this is the problem. Like, you know, Matt Millen always got killed for taking all the wide receivers, right?
Is that breaking?
It's official, yeah. NFL tweeted it. Cowboys Eagles kick off the season Thursday Night Football. September 4th.
Whoa. Ian Rappaport. There it is. Cowboys Eagles. Reaction, Mr. Scheduler?
that is my I feel like it is my name now. Look, it's I honestly think it's like the NFL misses this. This is one thing I disagree with them. The Cowboys are going to draw a big number anyway. Thursday Night Football opener is going to draw a big number anyway. Save the Cowboys. Right? Say if you have the Cowboys in your pocket, don't burn them. You don't want the MLB teams will tell you they don't want the Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox, something like that on opening day. Opening day is a sellout regardless. They want those teams in June. You know what I mean? They don't want them on their opening day. Someone's going to have it every year, but they don't want it.
I mean, we're used to opening up. What is it?
We're usually Sunday Night Football.
And the Giants.
And the Giants, right? So it's now, like, Thursday Night Football is going to have a huge number anyway. So you should save the Cowboys. But from our standpoint, I love this opening. Let's go. I hate division games on opening day, though. I want to save those for later in the year. But from an entertainment standpoint, it doesn't get much better than this.
What was the other scheduling thing you were going off about? Was it the...
Oh, my God. This is the Chiefs and the Chargers. And they are going to... The reports are they are going to open in Brazil on opening weekend. So last year was Eagles-Packers. It was a Friday game. I don't think a divisional game should ever be played. I don't even like it week one, but on a neutral site? What? That's not fair. This is a divisional game. These are the two best teams in the division. What are you doing playing on a neutral site? Let the home teams have it.
How do you feel about back to the Cowboys and the Eagles? And let's get your text reaction as well on the Franco and Franco injury attorney text line. The breaking news, Cowboys, Eagles, Thursday. On September 4th, NBC, as they unveil the banner. Better, worse to get Philly that early, that night with the emotion?
Usually I would think it was worse. I don't know that you want a team coming off of a Super Bowl championship at home on opening night. We've seen teams lose. Kansas City lost. Was it Detroit? Was it last year or the year before?
Right.
They lost. Yeah, they lost on the opener. But generally, I think like the emotion raising the banner, you're going to have all the, I mean, you'll have your legends of your team there. All the fans will be there. It'll be crazy.
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper will be in the house. I'm sure Mike Trout will probably be there because he'll be on the injured list at that point.
Because this,
so he'll be there.
This was always a thing in the NBA. Like, all right, like it'll take the home team a while to get going. We need to go back and do a little history review of how the defending champ handles business.
Yeah, I mean, because it's been about, what, a decade they've done this game on the Thursday night? Well, we could find that.
Here it is. Chiefs, Ravens, Kansas City won. Detroit beat Kansas City, so that makes it 1-1. But we'll do another study. I don't feel like going through all of it right now, but I found the website to go ahead and get it. So there it is. You're opening up on a Thursday night, and it'll be a packed Friday morning right here on your home of America's team and DFW Sports Station. Meanwhile, big NFL news over the weekend. Derek Carr retires.
Man, Derek Carr retires. Saw this little juicy little nugget. He's the only quarterback to lose to 31 NFL teams and have 40,000 pass yards and no playoff wins.
Wow.
So in baseball, they have what's called the Mendoza line. Peyton, you know what the Mendoza line is?
Yeah, it's when your average is below 200.
But, bam, buddy.
Well
yes,
done.
Yes, sir.
I thought he was going to say the brother's accused of murdering.
Absolutely. Hey, retrial this. Resentencing here. Let's go.
Mendoza brothers.
And that was for decades actually lower than a real major leaguer should hit, right? Now 200 really is the Mendoza line. But this is the Derek Carr line. It's the Carr pickup line. Like he's a good quarterback, but also a bad one. He was the worst quarterback to be your quarterback because he was going to be good enough to not allow you to be bad enough to get you a good enough pick to replace him and find a guy that can get you the title. He can get you to the cusp of the playoffs.
Yep.
Sometimes even to the playoffs. You know, and he's the quarterback that a coach would want who doesn't have a quarterback because they could be competitive, but no GM should ever want this guy as your quarterback. Because you can't ultimately achieve your main goal, It's the car pickup line.
He's 34, recently underwent multiple medical evaluations on the shoulder. Surgery was his only route back to 100%. That would mean a six-month recovery. So he retires rather than staying on IR all year. I can already see a comeback 2 years down the line with this guy. He's a drama queen. And I've always called him the Hallmark car. He's always got to have the tears flowing and the crying and all the emotions. So I can see someone trying to entice him to come back in a couple of years. But now Kellen Moore does not have his veteran.
No, he doesn't. He's made $205
million.
Whew. He's 77 and 92.
Is he on the all Kirk Cousins team for finances?
First ballot. First ballot. It's from Warren Sharp. First ballot Hall of Fame bag getter. That's what he is. He's not Kirk Cousins, though. Ninth most cash since 2014 of any player in the NFL. Ninth most cash for Derek Carr. And like you said, Kellen doesn't have his guy. So now what do?
You drafted someone.
You did. You drafted Tyler Shuck. You had Spencer Rattler. So maybe you're, well, obviously one of those guys is going to get a shot. And we'll see what happens next year.
I'm probably starting Shuck to begin the season.
I would too.
All right, so there it is. The breaking news. Cowboys, Eagles, Thursday night as they unveil the banner in Filthy. How are the Tolos feeling about the scheduling break or not break?
Well, you got a lot of Tolos that are in favor of what RJ said, kind of, with the divisional games early on, week one. Not a whole lot of people with 8-1-7 and 3-2-5 both say, I don't care for divisional games right out of the gate. 2-1-4 says Eagles Commanders would have been a better matchup. And 4-6-9, how some people think, at least we get the loss out of the way early and can enjoy our weekend.
Come on.
877-881-1053 to continue to hit us up. That's the number to call to win the Rangers tickets as we give away the four-pack during the 720 Expressway. But he was in the building for the Game 3 win. He was talking to Tolos afterwards outside Jake Rietma to talk about the Dallas Stars. 5-2 victory to take the 2-1 series lead. The Stars party continues next.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.